Among the many things to vote on this past Tuesday in Florida was, well, voting. More specifically, the rights of former felons to vote. Amendment 4 was what it was labeled as, and it called for voting rights to be restored to some people convicted of crimes. Here with us now to review this idea. What is going to happen moving forward? It's been an issue we've talked about here in New Jersey quite frequently, as a matter of fact, from the Law Enforcement Action Partnership is retired Flagler County, Florida Sheriff Jim Manfrey. Thanks for being here today, Sheriff.
Oh, you're welcome.
And learn more about Law Enforcement Action Partnership. It's lawenforcementactionpartnership.org. So what were the details about Amendment 4?
Essentially, the initiative, and again, this is a ballot initiative by voters to put inside the Constitution, was to restore the rights of nonviolent felony offenders in a expeditious fashion. Previous to this, it was a very long, lengthy, and expensive process for felony offenders to restore their voting franchise. So this takes away the bureaucracy, the expense, the time of getting regaining their voting rights. And it's estimated 1.5 million nonviolent felony offenders will have their voting rights restored.
That sounds like a sizable percentage of the overall voting population.
It is, yes. It's, I believe there's somewhere about 12 to 13 million voters in Florida, so it is a substantial portion. As we all know, Florida votes tend to be very close, whether presidential or off-presidential year elections. We're going through a very significant recount right now. It shows how close the votes are here in Florida. So it can have a significant impact on future elections.
The idea, too, I mean, this is something that you, when someone, as they say, does their time and pays their penalties and all points concerned, to expect them to just regain a connection with society with the absence of a basic right, through your experience, is that something that is one of the causes of people becoming repeat offenders?
Well, there's a lot of different factors that enter into it. But, you know, essentially, a criminal justice system is supposed to punish and then encourage good behavior. So there are many ways to do this. Fines, probation, community service, jail time. There are many aspects that encourage people, either through these kind of penalties or encourage them to reenter society through halfway houses and diversion programs. We believe that the voting franchise is part of the restorative process, that in order to keep people from reoffending, we have to provide them with jobs and training and counseling, whether it's mental health or alcohol or drug counseling. But certainly being restored to your community in terms of your ability to vote is part of that whole process. So we really have to commit as a nation whether we want to have just a punitive system or we want to have a punitive and restorative system. And I believe very strongly, having spent 25 years in law enforcement, that we need to have both. You can't have just one or the other. You need to have both. There are crimes that need to be, you know, punished because they shock the conscience of the community. But there are other crimes that can be mitigated through diversion programs and through restoring those people to the community in a productive way.
I'm assuming, I'm thinking, too, Amendment 4 passed overwhelmingly as it did. Almost 65% of Florida voters voted in favor of it was because it of the specifics. It doesn't allow anyone convicted of murder or a felony sexual offense to benefit from this program.
Yes. And yes, and I think that's part of it. But I think they're essentially what I just commented on, people feel as well, is that I believe punishing people by taking away their voting rights really is not something that most people see as appropriate when people commit crimes. I believe most people believe those things are separate. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, these laws have been enacted for one reason, is to suppress voters. I mean, there has never been any study that I've seen that shows a correlation between denying people voting rights and they're not reoffending. The only thing that keeps people from reoffending are these restorative processes. And this is where this nation has to grapple with. And it's become nonpartisan now. From the White House through conservative and liberal groups have all agreed that we cannot just keep on incarcerating the amount of people we are. Crime has gone down by almost 50% over the past 20 years, yet our prison population has exploded. And it becomes a burden on the taxpayers that does not have a cost benefit. It's better to spend money on the types of people that will be restored through drug and alcohol counseling, mental health diversion programs, halfway houses, job training, and restoring them to the community. Without that process, we are going to continue to lead the world. We have 5% of the population. We have 25% of the incarcerated population. That is not something that we can continue from a taxpayer standpoint and just from a criminal justice standpoint.
So with retired Sheriff Jim Manfree, retired from Flagler County, Florida, also a representative of the Law Enforcement Action Partnership. On the web is lawenforcementactionpartnership.org. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Also want to add, too, that the right to have a vote restored would only be after the completion of the sentence. That includes prison, parole, and probation. So this, again, Sheriff, this is someone who has done all they've been asked to do.
Exactly. That is part of what the amendment, I think, drew the support, was that we wanted to ensure that the offender completed all of their required sentencing provisions before it could be restored. But the process would then be simple for that person then to obtain the voting rights. And again, it doesn't just happen. The person has to do some, you know, some things. They have to go down and register, and they have to show that they have completed all of their sentencing requirements. So it does incentivize them to make sure that all of the provisions of either their probation or of their sentence have been completed. So I think it was a well-crafted law. I think that's why it got such overwhelming support. And I think essentially people feel that there should be some sort of difference between punishment and voting, and that by restoring voting rights, we hopefully will keep that person from thinking twice about committing the same crime or any crime.
As well, too, if you think of things in dollars and cents in state budgets, because right now, or I mean before Amendment 4, someone could, on a case-by-case basis, petition to have the right to vote returned to them. But when you think of the cost of, let's just say, well, you know, for in New Jersey, for example, there's 70,000 people, give or take, who would be, if Amendment 4 were to be enacted in New Jersey, who could have the right to vote. Think of those 70,000 people having to go case by case to a state office, a local office, county office. There's costs involved with that. You have to, you know, everything from employing the people to turning the lights on.
Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent point. I completely agree with you. You know, it's part of what government needs to do more often is when they enact laws is look at the downward stream that they're creating. And here's, you just provided a perfect example. Because the people that you're tying up when you're asking people to go through this process, and my background is I was a prosecutor, and by the way, in New York, I was investigated in the Bronx District Attorney's Office, now a sheriff here in Florida. So I've seen the criminal justice system from an urban, suburban, and rural perspective. And the fact is that these processes are enormously, time-consuming and expensive, because the process simply is you have to go back through law enforcement. Law enforcement has to then check through background checks before they allow that person to obtain their voting rights. So you're exactly right. It's a great point that you free up a lot of manpower, law enforcement manpower, bureaucratic manpower, in by eliminating this, really what I believe is non-essential punishment of the offender.
Granted, it is an issue when you hear it on its surface. A lot of people arch the back to it, but if you look at the details, especially the way that Amendment 4 was crafted, you can see that it is a fair process for equality and restoration of just some basic confidence in that an individual once again belongs to a community, which I think is something we all want for people who are genuine in their desire to gain that spot once again. Learn more about Law Enforcement Action Partnership at the website lawenforcementactionpartnership.org. Sheriff Jim Manfree, thanks so much for helping us understand what Amendment 4 is all about, and hopefully it's a step in the right direction for many more states to follow. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Have a great day.